And good morning. Welcome back from the Ron Scott Communications Center. I'm Steve Buss. Joining me now is Philip Beagle, who is with the Commemorative Air Force with the Dixie Wing of the CAF. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And you are here all the way from the Atlanta area to show off a brand new restoration of a P-63 King Cobra.
Absolutely. What a place to show it off.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the P-63 itself before we get into the specific model.
So the P-63 is the predecessor to the A-10. If you think about the A-10, has a massive gun up front, protects the troops, and that's what it really was designed around. The P-63 was designed the same way. Has a huge cannon up front, 250 cals, and then also 250 cals underneath the wing. And believe it or not, the engine actually sits behind the pilot, and the pilot has a drive shaft that spins between his legs.
I can imagine that some pilots were a little uncomfortable with that.
Just don't tell them. They'll be fine.
Then the P-63 and its predecessor, the P-39, really didn't see a lot of action within the United States, within the U.S. Air Force or the Army Air Corps at the time. Most of them were lend-leased overseas, most in Russia.
Correct.
Which, depending on what history book you read, they had a very impressive record of as you say, similar to the A-10, tank busting and ground support. Do you have any, you know, figures that are a little more concrete than what I've sort of read on the internet?
Well, I mean, there's over 4,000 airplanes that were made P-63s, and they went to Russia. Russia's loved the airplane because of that big cannon up front. It was able to, you know, go out there, fight the missions, take out the tanks, and it really helped protect Russia during that period of time.
And the history on this particular P-63, where did it come out of?
So our P-63 was actually one of the original CAF airplanes. It was bought back in the 60s in the CAF, but unfortunately, due to corrosion issues, it went down in the 70s and 80s. When I say it went down like they parked it on the side and because of the corrosion. And it hasn't flown in, you know, 30 or 40 years. So that airplane has been in restoration, and it's gone from one unit to the next unit. And, you know, the Dixie Wing was, the unit said, fine, we'll take it, bring it on. And we got the airplane, it had unfortunately been in a flood and floated around when the Mississippi flooded over at a different unit. And we took it on and we rebuilt every single piece of magnesium in the airplane with original specs back to aluminum, of course, for safety. Had to rebuild the rudder bar assembly. I mean, the entire airplane, we went through every single facet, every single bolt, every single piece, every single little detail. We went back and made sure it was exactly right spec-wise.
And, of course, this is all done with volunteers.
Well, of course, there's no other way.
That's right. How long was the restoration process?
Let's just say about 30 years.
Now, the Dixie Wing didn't have it for 30 years.
No, like I said.
You've accelerated that restoration process.
Absolutely. And we are, the Dixie Wing, are very, very, very fortunate with our volunteer base. We have an entire machine shop. We have 8 mills, 3 lathes, heat treat ovens, all the testing equipment necessary to be able to do just that project. So we're very blessed at the Dixie Wing with the type of volunteers we have. And in general, the CAF, the passion we have, the drive we have to restore something like that and put it out on display at EAA.
As we said, a lot of the P-63s and P-39s went lend-lease to Russia, but there were a few that stayed back here in the United States and had a very, very interesting mission during the war, Operation Pinball.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure out in the crowd, y'all have played laser tag or paintball or something like that, where you go around it and you have lasers that intercept the beams going across. During the war, they didn't have that, and they needed their gunners to be able to get practice. So what they did was they took a P-63 and painted it orange, the entire airplane orange, and then added some armament to it, and then had special bullets the bomber pilots would use and shoot the airplane. And so when the bullets would actually hit the airplane would light up and show them, hey, look, you're on target. So that's how they trained gunners during World War II. They put those P-63s out there. So imagine that's your job. Okay, what are you going to do today? Well, I'm going to fly a bomber. I'm going to fly this. What are you going to do? I'm going to be a target.
And literally a target. not just towing a target, which there were a lot of T-6s and the Culvers that were used as target tows.
Right.
They were actually shooting at you.
Yeah, absolutely. You were part of the deal.
Any idea how many of them were actually shot down?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I seem to remember a few, but not as many as you might think.
Yeah, because part of the issue is with the, obviously with a liquid-cooled engine, you have the radiator. So any bullet through the radiator system, anything like that, obviously takes out the airplane.
Amazing. Now, the P-63 that the Dixie Wing has restored was not used in pinball.
Correct.
It carried a different mission. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about that.
So basically what our airplane did was, it was with NACA, the predecessor to NASA, and it helped test the laminar flow design of the wings. and different all sorts of different characteristics on the airplane. And if you go look at it today over there on Warbird Alley, you will actually see it in its original markings. The test, the NACA symbol, everything's exactly right down to where it should be. The paint colors, everything was researched. And so that airplane is actually, you know, historically correct from when it was brought out of the factory with the paint colors and then brought into NACA with all the stenciling and everything on it. It's exactly right.
And you'll be flying it this weekend, Sunday, correct?
Absolutely.
With NASA T-38?
We are really fortunate. One of our members put together a formation flight with three Cobras, four Cobras that are going to be up here, and a T-38 as well. I mean, it's going to be, you know, what a unique experience to come up here to EAA and be able to witness three or four Cobras flying at once.
Right. And it draws the legacy between NACA and NASA. So, again, the past and present, as we were talking about earlier. Tell us a little more about the Dixie Wing itself and what you folks are doing down there in Peachtree City.
So the Dixie Wing was founded by 12 members back in the 80s. And we started with the PT-26. And currently we have the PT-26, LT-6, which we restored from the ground up, SBD, which was restored, the P-63, the P-51, and the Corsair.
All of those aircraft are currently flying?
Absolutely.
All right. And you have just worked with the Minnesota Wing not too long ago to do a little mini tour with their B-25.
So the great thing about what we do is, like with the Minnesota Wing, they're trying to get their B-25 perfectly authentic as well. So we're helping manufacture parts for those guys. You know, all the same entity, all with the same CAF. And it's really good to be able to take one unit, be able to help out other units. And that's one of the main things that's great about the CAF is all of our members all across the United States and the world, that matter, we all work together. And it's a lot of fun to be able to participate in an organization like that.
And Miss Mitchell, the B-25 that we're talking about from the Minnesota Wing, is here and participating in the Doolittle Raid 75th anniversary. It is one of the most authentic B-25s. There are a number of B-25s that are flying, and they all look great. But this one, you've really gone back and put the turrets back in and all the equipment that needs to be in the airplane. So as far as being, you know, and a lot of these airplanes sell living history flights, flight experiences to help offset costs. This one is not that comfortable for necessarily taking a ride in, but it is an authentic experience.
I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, when you go view an airplane, when you go up there and you take that flight, look at it. Spend some time going through the airplane. Go visit the people. Talk to the people who rebuilt it. Talk to the people who are flying it. Talk to the crew members. And it really gives you an idea and this sense of dedication and just proudness that they have for that asset.
And the Dixie Wing also participates in a number of air shows. You mentioned the P-51 Mustang, Red Nose, which, if you're familiar with CAF history, that is the very first airplane.
The number one airplane.
It is still flying. It was here earlier in the week. I saw a taxi out, and I was like, hey, I recognize that airplane. but you've put together an air show act kind of in the similar vein of CAF's Tora, which is a recreation of Pearl Harbor, but you're looking at the aircraft of the Pacific Fleet.
Yeah, it's called the Prowlers of the Pacific. And it was the SB2C, our SBD, the Corsair, a Kate, and we basically recreate a battle in front of the crowd. And it's a great experience, you know, live pyro, and you get to really see what the airplanes are capable of doing. And, of course, as the Corsair wins, as it should, the at the end of it, the Corsair goes into a full acro routine.
Okay.
And so it's really neat to be able to see what the airplanes are meant to do doing it.
And that, of course, ties directly into the mission of the CAF, and that is education. And the best way that the Commemorative Air Force presents education is by flying the airplanes and telling the stories, not just of the battles and the engagements, but also about the people who were involved.
Absolutely. So it's funny because when people go to the CAF, they go because they want to see the airplanes move and breathe. And that's how you make a lasting impact on people. You let those airplanes do what they're supposed to do. You let them move. You let them breathe. You let them belch fire. You know, that's what they do. And when children come out, you see them, they click in their mind that they understand. In fact, we have a working ball turret at the Dixie Wing. And one of our members rebuilt the whole thing, got it so it works, and we built a whole A-frame for it. And if you've ever seen a ball turret, it's really painful to get in. I mean, you're crouched up like this. It's a horrible thing. And we had, at an air show, we had it set up, roped off accordingly and whatnot. And an old gentleman walked up with his family and their grandsons. And he was a ball turret gunner. And so we put him back in his ball turret. And, you know, there's 40 people around. All of a sudden you see it click in the child's mind, you know, his child's mind and their grandfather's, you know, all the way down the generational gaps. And you get to see what, you know, what we do as a CF, be able to restore it and make that bridge, make that connection. It's a really neat experience.
Excellent. Philip Eagle is with the CAF Dixie Wing in the Atlanta area. If folks want to come visit you, where can they find you?
We're in Peachtree City, Georgia, about 30 minutes right south of Atlanta.
All right. And your website?
DixieWing.org.
And your Facebook page?
DixieWing.org.
Okay. Just go through it all.
Exactly.
No, actually, if you just search Dixie Wing, you'll find them as well. One of the larger units in the Commemorative Air Force and really upholding the mission of the organization. Philip, thanks for joining us this morning, and we'll look forward to seeing the P-63 in the air with the T-38 on Sunday.
My pleasure.
All right. This is From the Stand. You're listening to EIA Radio.